Okay, today's daf is Pei Daled. We'll hopefully go into part of Shabbos' daf, see how far we get. We're starting from the very bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Bet. If you remember, we saw there were five different opinions, and Rish Lakish is basically going to give a summary of them, which the Gemara is going to, of course, say, why did we need that summary? Okay, which, I don't know, us learning here would say, oh, it's great that Rish Lakish is giving a summary, but the Gemara is going to say, oh, that seems unnecessary. So we'll have to see why. But in the meantime, Rish Lakish says, we started with this yesterday, we stopped at the middle, Mincha haba bifnei atzma, l'divrei kulam lo tered. If you have a mincha that comes on its own, right, there were some minchot that are by themselves, and some are part of the korban. They come as a side to the korban. So if they come bifnei atzman, this is a little deceptive because it's not l'divrei kulam. What he means is l'divrei kulam in our Mishnah, because minchas are burned. So the opinion that says it's only things that are burned, they are burned. The opinion that says anything that goes on the mizbeach, it's part of it. And the opinion that says the nisachim that go along with the korban don't go on, but they do if they come by themselves. So he would agree also with a mincha that a mincha would also go if it's by itself. So what does that mean? Lo tered, right? If it's on the mizbeach, you have to take it off. But the divrei Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Kiva, tered, right? According to the two of them, because it's either only animal or only animal and bird. Mincha haba ima zevach. So now, what if it comes with the zevach? So the divrei Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, lo tered. They'll say the same thing because it's either something that's ra'oi to go on the fire to be burned, or just something that's ra'oi to go on the mizbeach stays. L'divrei kulan tered. But according to all the rest of the people, right, this l'divrei kulan is a strange usage of the term, but it means according to everybody else, it will have to come off because according to Rabbi Shimon, who said that if it came as an attachment to the korban, if he said about the nisachim, he'll say the same thing about the mincha. Only if it comes with na'atzmam does it stay on, but if it came on account of the korban, then it doesn't stay on. Nisachim haba'im b'fnei atzmam. So now we're going to see the same thing with the nisachim. So if they come, the libations, the wine libations, if they come b'fnei atzmam, l'divrei hakol yerdu. Again, according to, right, who is it going to be yerdu? According to Rabbi Shimon, who had that shita, specifically if they come with the korban. I'm sorry, oh no, not according to him, my mistake. According to Rabban Gamliel and according to the brayta that we saw, which was Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, according to them, it's not an animal offering, and therefore, or a bird offering, and therefore it will be tered, or yerdu. L'divrei Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Shimon, lo yerdu. And according to also the first opinion, Rabbi Yoshua, who said it's all about the fire, and this isn't something that's offered by fire. That's the difference between the Nisachim and the Mincha, because the Mincha does get burned by fire. So you have Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and Rabbi Akiva, who all are going to say this doesn't go back on the Mizbeach. And L'divrei Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, lo yerdu, because Rabbi Shimon said if it's b'fnei atzmo, lo yered, and Rabban Gamliel, anything that goes on the Mizbeach, lo yered. Nisachim haba'im ima zevach, if they come with the zevach, then, again, this l'divrei kulan is going to be, now we're adding Rabbi Shimon to the list, because Rabbi Shimon said if they come with the korban, then yerdu. And l'divrei Rabban Gamliel l'chudei lo yerdu. And Rabban Gamliel is the only one who's going to say, since it's something that you offer on the mizbeach, it stays on. He's the only one. So now the Gemara says pshita. This whole thing that Rish Lakish said, right, maybe it's not so simple, but it's simply derived from the Mishnah, you could have figured it out yourself in the Mishnah and the Braita. So why does he say it? So they say, what's he trying to teach us? Mincha haba b'fnei atzmo itzdiri chale. He wanted to teach us this halacha that one could bring a mincha b'fnei atzma. Uchidu rav adam rava, mitnadev adam mincha nesachim b'chol yom. Rava had this opinion. Now, Rish Lakish and Rava didn't exactly communicate. Rava was in Bavel, and he's really a little of a later generation than Rish Lakish. Maybe they did overlap time-wise, but Rish Lakish is an earlier generation. So you'd have to say that what Rish Lakish is trying to teach us, the Gemara assumes, is the same halacha that Rava told us somewhere else, which is he wasn't really trying to tell us about the details of who fits in where, but through doing that, he was able to teach us this other halacha that if you want, you could bring a mincha nidava. Remember we saw before there was a machloket about a shemen nidava? Could you bring shemen for nidava? We had the whole thing about the safek mitzora. So likewise, there's a debate about this mincha. So you could bring a mincha nesachim b'chol yom if you wanted to. So then they say, well, if that's what Rish Lakish wanted to tell us, so why didn't he just say that, right? V'nishmi'inan k'derava. Because why didn't he just say, by the way, if you want to bring a minchat nesachim, you could bring it. And it would be smarter to say it like the way Rava said. So therefore, we're going to say, no, that can't be what he was trying to be machadesh. He was trying to teach us about nesachim haba'im imazevach itzrichaleh. To come a karev lehu lemachar uliyoma ochara. It's a mistake in the text, or at least some people say you should change it to liyoma ochara, meaning liyom acharei. He's talking about zvachim, nisachim, if you remember, we learned this already. Nisachim that come with a zevach, with a korban, you can bring not only the day of the korban, but you could bring it the next day or even the day after. Okay? So, and I think you could even bring it a few days after that. So now what he's saying is, how do you treat nisachim? You could have thought that what? If the nisachim, if you're bringing them on a different day than the sacrifice is, are those treated as bifnatzman, because they're not coming together with the sacrifice, or are they treated with the sacrifice because they're coming on account of the sacrifice? So that's what we're saying. He's coming to teach us about this nisachim abayim avazevach, and why do you need it? Itzrichale, you needed him to teach us this, because he wanted to teach us that any kind of nisachim abayim mazevach are going to be treated like nisachim abayim mazevach and not ones that are bifnei atzman. Dekamekarev lehu lemachar liyoma ochara. Salka inad, you need it for that case because sometimes they come not exactly together with it. Salka da'ata chamina ho'il va'amar mar minchatam v'niskehem balayla, minchatam v'niskehem lemachar. How do we know that you can bring them the next day or that night or the day after? It's because in that section where it talks about all the korbanot of Sukkot, it says, "Umechatam niskehem, umechatam niskehem." If you remember the Torah readings, and it just keeps saying the same for each one, it says, "Umechatam niskehem." So why does it keep repeating it? One is to say even balayla, and one is to say even lemachar. Okay, that they don't have to be brought actually together with the korban; they could be brought the following day or that night. And therefore, what might you have thought? That they're kinesachim haba'im ifne'atzmam. Damu, you might have thought that they're like nesachim haba'im ifne'atzmam, in which case, what would happen? Umo de Rabbi Shimon de lo yerdu. And Rabbi Shimon would admit that in this case, since even though they come with the korban, since you could do them at a different time than you bring the korban, even a different day, maybe they're treated separately in imalu lo yerdu. And in fact, kamash malan, that's why they have to, that was why Rish Lakish wanted to teach this whole long thing, was to teach you that a mincha that comes with the zevach, whether it comes at the same time as the zevach or a different time of the zevach, since it's coming because of the zevach, it's treated like it's part of a corollary to the korban, in which case we'd say, if imalu, you actually have to take it off. Okay, so new Mishnah. Elu imalu lo yerdu. Okay, here's a list now of things that once they went on the mizbech, they don't come off the mizbech. Halan, if it went overnight. Hayotze, it went outside the mikdash, right, outside the azara. Vahatame, if it became tame, impure. Vishenishchat chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo, pigul. Okay, right, it was shechted with the wrong intent. Actually, no, is this pigul or is it? Right, I think it's shenishchat with a pigo machshava. I assume that's what it means.
Pigo.
Right? It's not that you actually shechted a chutz lizmano, it's that you shechted it with a machshava of being, yeah. What? That's what it is, right? It's pigo machshava. And chutz limkomo. Vishekiblu psulin, vizarku etamo. The psulin accepted the blood and sprinkled the blood. Most people say these are two different cases. Some people say it's one case where psulin both collected and sprinkled the blood, or it could be psulin collected the blood, or psulin sprinkled the blood.
Kohanim, not.
So psulin could be, I think, well, we're going to see later they talk about that there's a certain thing that's only kohanim, but in theory you could say it's just someone who's not allowed to do it.
People.
It says, right, I assume it could mean anyone. In other words, a Yisrael who's not allowed to, a Zar, or a Levi, for that matter, or a Kohen who's disqualified from the Avoda for, you know, he's a Baal Mum, for whatever reason. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. Shenishchat balayla, v'nishpach dama, v'yatsa dama chutz l'klaim, im alta tered. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says there's three cases here where, in fact, you do take it off. okay, he disagrees about these three cases. If it was shechted at night, if the blood spilled, and therefore you can no longer bring the blood because it spilled, we lost the blood. And yatsa dama chutz leklaim, if the blood went outside the azara and it was puzzled by that. In those three cases, imal tatereid, we're going to get into the opinions soon. Rabbi Shimon omer lo tereid, he says, no, you don't take it off for those things. Why? She Rabbi Shimon omer, kol shepsulo bakodesh, hakodesh mekablo. Lo aya psulo bakodesh, en hakodesh mekablo. We've seen all this before because we quoted from this earlier in the Masechet. He says, it's all a psul that happened when you were in the kodesh. Any psul that happens once it was sanctified, and then it becomes disqualified, im alta lo tereid. Okay? If it goes up on the mizbech, you don't take it off. But if its psul was before it became sanctified, which we're going to see the list right now, then once you put it on, you take it off. Okay? What are those cases? Ve'elu shelo hayu psulam bakodesh. Okay? Here's the list of things that are not psulam bakodesh. Haroveh ve'hanirba, meaning something that was disqualified because the animal itself was never ra'oi to be sanctified, like if it was an animal that engaged in bestiality. Hamukta, if it was designated for avodah zarah. V'hanevad, if it was worshipped for avodah zarah. V'ha'etnan, if it was given as a gift to a prostitute. V'hamachir, if it was sold as a price for a kelev, for a dog. V'hakilayim, if it was from a mixed breed of animal, which is not ra'oi for the mizbeach. V'hatrefa, if it was not shechted, if it was killed, or right, that's I assume the trefa here, or if it was sick. I mean, a trefa sick? I don't know. I guess it could be a sick animal, right, that you couldn't have shechted anyway. Vahayotze dofen, and it has to be born actually by a natural child, natural birth. Ubale mumin, okay, and something that has a mum on it. So all of these things, imalu yirdu. We take them off the mizbeach because they were never. Their psulam was lo bakodesh. Their psulam was before they even became sanctified. These things can't even be sanctified, so for sure the mizbeach can't sanctify them. Rabbi Akiva is going to disagree about one thing. Rabbi Akiva machshir b'ba'alei mumim. He thinks ba'alei mumim are different. He thinks ba'alei mumim imalu yirdu. Lo yirdu. Okay, once they go up, they stay on. Rabbi Chanina skana kohanim. I'm glad we finally got to him, because he appeared, if you remember, in Yoma and all sorts of cases where he was one of these people who lived, he was the Skana Kohanim, so he obviously lived before the Churban, but he also lived after the Churban, and he always gives us information from things that went on inside the Beit HaMikdash. We've been struggling for that all along, you know, talking about how here they're talking about things that they actually weren't dealing with. So comes Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, and he says, Doche haya abba et ba'alei mumim me'al gabei mizbeach. Okay, he says, my father would knock off the Baalei Mumim from the Mizbeach, and as if the Baal Mum went on, he says, Rabbi Akiva, I disagree with you, with all due respect, right? I saw my father do it. He would take off Baalei Mumim from the Mizbeach.
That's all he has to say. We're waiting.
Right, right, exactly. That's what I said. We've been waiting for him all the time. The one thing he's telling us about these Baalei Mumim. Yes. I'm guessing he was pretty old by then, and he probably wasn't involved in so many discussions. It's possible, right? Because he clearly was from the generation before everybody else. So, or the truth is, it's a good question. I don't know if we know exactly when he lived. I could look it up. But even if he lived at the same time, remember, he's coming from in the Mikdash, and they're coming from, outside. Like, their world wasn't the Mikdash. But he's clearly an earlier generation than Rabbi Akiva, that's for sure.
He's probably pretty young as well. Like, he remembers his father doing something, but because he was a little boy, maybe at that time.
Maybe, right. It could be, but he was Skana Kohanim. He had a prominent position. Skana Kohanim is the guy in waiting. If the Kohen Gadol dies, he takes his place. So he had to have been, I don't know what age you need to be, what the minimum age is, but he certainly wasn't a little kid. Okay. Although it could be what he remembers his father doing, he was a little kid. That's possible. Kishem she'im alu lo yardu, just like we say, if it went on, you don't take it off. Kach im yardu, but what if something disqualified went on the mizbeach, and then it came off? So once it's off, lo ya'alu, then you don't put it back on. Okay? Now here you could think about this conceptually. Why wouldn't it go back on? Is it because the Mizbeach was Mikadsha, but it's only Mikadsha while it's on the Mizbeach, and as soon as it gets off the Mizbeach, the holiness is gone, so therefore you don't bring it back on? Or is it that the Mizbeach is Mikadsha, and it does have holiness to it, but you can only sacrifice what's, and as maybe you can, let me just think about it for a second, what was I thinking? That, right. Even though it's sanctified, it's still disqualified. So we have on the one hand sanctity, the other hand disqualification. So either we say the sanctity is gone and then all we're left with is disqualified. Or we say the sanctity is still there, but now that it went off the Mizbeach, we have no heter lahakriv davar. Even though it's kodesh, it's also disqualified. The disqualifying factor overrides the Kedusha once it's off the Mizbeach. That only once it's on the Mizbeach do we have a heter to sacrifice it. But once it's off, we have no heter to bring it back up.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the Pasuk, the original Pasuk. So you could make the argument that how can you take anything down? Because it's all Kodesh once it goes up there. So this must be about, you know, I don't even understand the concept. How can you take anything off?
Because I think that they view it as certain things that really have no place being there. In other words, there's a range. That's exactly what this is showing. There's things that have zero place in that area. So even if they get there, it's not going to include that. It's not going to sanctify it to the extent that you're allowed to sacrifice something that's despicable to God. Or right? In other words, there's things that are can't ever, like an etnan, and these are things that are a disgrace to bring into the Mikdash. So if they get into the Mikdash, we have to take them out. But then there's things that are this in between. They were good, they were ready to go, and then something happened to them. So if that's the case, so those are the things that the Mizbeach is going to sanctify. But we can't have it allow all sorts of things that we think are despicable.
Well, maybe the argument, though, is you shouldn't let it get anywhere near the Mizbeach.
Well, that's also true. It's preventative. In other words, know that if these get near the Mizbeach, you have to take them off. But I don't know if that's such a scary thing anyway. But I think that, in general, they had Yirat HaMizbeach. You know, I'm sure they tried to keep things away. Okay, so now, last part of the Mishnah. Bikulan sha'alu chayim l'rosh ha'mizbeach yirdu. We saw this yesterday. If they go up alive, okay, an animal runs up the ramp of the mizbeach, you take them off. Ola sha'alta chaya l'rosh ha'mizbeach tered. If an ola goes up l'rosh ha'mizbeach, it comes, we take it off. But if shachata b'rosh ha'mizbeach, but if it was slaughtered at the top of the mizbeach, and it's if, let's say, the animal ran up, and someone slaughtered it at the top of the mizbeach, then yafshit v'yintachar b'mkoma. You're supposed to take off the skin of the ola, and then you cut it up into pieces, and then you burn all the pieces on the fire. So if the slaughtering, generally you don't do that at the top of the mizbeach, but if the slaughtering happened on top of the mizbeach, the ola ran up, the animal ran up, the slaughtering happened on top, you do this part at the top. The Gemara is going to question, what are we talking about? Is it a pasul ola? Is it a kasher ola? What's the chidush here? It's unclear. The Gemara is going to get into it.
Can't even imagine.
Can't imagine what?
Something like that happening.
The animal runs up the mizbeach.
There's kedusha and there's everything. You can't just start the thing, oh, well, it ran up here. I run after it with holding my knife or something. And then.
But remember, the mizbeach was really large. There is space there to shecht it.
Still,
it
just seems,
and if you've got
bizarre.
A million animals being shechted in that other area, it's possible to imagine one could run.
Right, we talked about it before, about shechita on top of the mizbeach, that one could do it. Yeah, it does sound weird. But
especially since if there's fire, whatever, the animal would be afraid, so it would not.
Right, except remember, there's fire only in one area. There's not fire two areas.
Not two.
There's not, right, two areas, but there's not fire everywhere. It's a really big space.
And it probably smelled good up there.
Right, might have been attractive. I don't know how they controlled all the animals. I think it's easy to imagine animals wandering, you know. Also, if you say the ramp is like the Mizbeach, which we saw, then maybe not the top, but the ramp. You know, or even touching the Mizbeach, we said yesterday. It seems like even touching the wall of the Mizbeach. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now we're going to see, where does Rabbi Yehuda get this, that there's these three exceptions to the rule? Right? Remember, we have our general klal. Psulo b'kodesh stays on. Psulo shelo b'kodesh doesn't, right? You take it off. But Rabbi Yehuda said there's these three cases, hanishcha b'layla, nishpach dama, v'yatza dama chutz l'kla'im. All three of those are going to be exceptions to the rule. Imalta tered. So now we're going to see where he gets this from. The words, and we've seen this sugya before. Zoti ha'ola. Okay, this is the pasuk where we derive all of this from. This is Tzavat Aaron ve'et banav le'mor v'yikra vav bet. Zot Torah ha'ola. Hi ha'ola al mogda al mizbeach. Remember, al mogda was the ishin, right? Things by the fire. Al mizbeach meant no anything. And Rabbi Yeshua and said, right, anything that goes, Rabban Gamliel it was, who said anything that goes on the Mizbeach, because it says Ala Mizbeach. So now he darshens these words, Zot Torah Ta'ola, okay, the word Zot, he, and Ha'ola, okay, the thing that goes up. So he's going to say, Hare Elu Gimel Mi'utim, these are three exceptions. From these three words, Sima necessary, there's three exceptions. Prat Lishanishkata Balayla, okay, so far right now we just have, there's three words that he claims are extra or words that are kind of saying just this is coming to exclude three things, right, because from those three words, and therefore he's going to count three things. Now it's arbitrary, it seems like, why those three things, we'll get to that soon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ola Ein Li Ela Ola Kshera. For the fact that it says Zot Torah Ta'ola, it sounds like only in Ola Ksheira. Minayin l'rabot shenishchata b'alayla v'shenishpach tama v'shiyatza dama chutz l'klaim v'halam v'hayotze v'tame v'shenishchat chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo v'shekibalnu psulim v'zarku et amo. And he adds to this list, notice this bright has a whole bunch more. Okay, first, the structure of this is very simple. He starts off with the three that Rabbi Yehuda thinks im alu yirdu, and he says no, those are on the other list. And then he lists all the ones that are in our Mishnah. And then this Braita has some more. Hanitanim lemata shenitanam lemala. Remember, the ones that are supposed to be sprinkled at the bottom and you sprinkle them on the top. Or lemala shenitanam lemata. Vehanitanim b'chut shenitanam b'fnim. Right, you were supposed to do it outside, but you did it on the inside, Mizbeach. Or b'fnim shenitanam b'chut. U'pesach v'chatat shachatan shelo lishman. Or, going back to the very first Mishnah of our Masechet, the Pesach and the Chatat, that was Shechatan Shalo Lishma, they're disqualified. Remember, all the other ones, if you do a Shalo Lishma, you can sacrifice them. But these were disqualified, you're not allowed to sacrifice them. What if you stuck them on the Mizbeach? Minai, and how do we know that all these things, if you put them on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take them off? Talmud Lamar, Torah Ta'ola, Riba Torah Achat L'chol Ha'olim, Shimalu Lo Yerdu. Okay, because it says Zot Torah Ta'ola, not just Zot Ha'ola, okay, therefore, we say that comes to include anything that went up on the Mizbeach, okay, not just an Ola, a burnt offering, but anything that went up, Imalu Lo Yerdu. So now, obviously, it's not really everything that goes on the Mizbeach, because we already said, Yachol Shani, so the bright continues, Yachol Shani Marbeh HaRoveh VaHanirba VaMukta VaNeva VaEtnan UMechir UKilayim UTreifa VaYotzei Dofen, all those that are psulim shelo bakodesh, Talmud Lamar Zot. So Zot comes to exclude those. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, that's a little, I'm sorry, the Braita is going to say, it's a little arbitrary. Mara ita l'rabot et elu ulu etziat elu. Right, so why would you say, let's exclude the psulim that are not psulim bakodesh, and let's include the one shepsulam bakodesh. Achar shteriba katuv umi'et. Since the Ketuv, right, seems to include all these cases, and then it comes to exclude, right, Torah Ta'ola includes, Zot excludes. So now we're going to say, Mirabe aniyat elu, shahayap sulam bakodesh, umotzi aniyat elu, shelo ayap sulam bakodesh. In other words, once we give it a category, it's going to be obvious. Once we say it's psulam bakodesh or psulam shelo bakodesh, it makes it very easy. Obviously, you're going to include the ones that were already sanctified and then got disqualified, as opposed to ones that were never allowed in the first place. And it's kind of the question was asked as if we didn't know what the category was. Once you know the category, it's kind of obvious. V'Rabbi Yehuda Maitele Mehacha. Now, how does Rabbi Yehuda get these three exceptions? Mipneima amru lan bedam kasher. Okay, why is he going to say that if it stays overnight? One second. He's going to say, right, nishchap alayla nishpach tamav yatzad amachus leklaim. So how do I know that if it's lan balayla, lan bedam, if the dam stays overnight, how do I know that it's kasher? Shaharei lan kasher bi'imurim. In other words, what he's going to do now is he's going to say he's going to give a reason not for why those three are excluded. He's going to say, why are all the other ones included? He's going to say, all of the cases that he thinks were disqualified and yet are allowed to stand the Mizbeach, okay, which is everything that the Mishnah said except for the three that he lists of Nishchap Alayla, Nishpach Daman, and the third of Yatzah Damah Chutz Beklaim. So all of the other ones have some sort of heter element to them. Okay, they're disqualified, but there's some way that's similar to it that is good. So how does this work? So lan bedam, if the dam was left overnight, is kasher. Why? If you put it on the mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. Because hare lan kasher be'imurim. The concept of lan by blood is similar to the concept of lan by imurim. Now, if you leave the imurim overnight, they're not disqualified. Now, how do you know that? Okay, this is like, I know this because of that, and I know that. So lan be'imurim kasher. Why, if you left the imurim overnight, and then they got put on the mizbeach, you wouldn't have to take them off. Remember, what happens to the imurim? Usually they're burnt on the mizbeach, and they burn all night long. But if you left them overnight and didn't burn them till the next day, and then they ended up on the mizbeach, you wouldn't have to take them off. So they're saying, dam, the halacha of lan with dam, we learn that from the halacha of dam of lan be'imurim. The halacha of lan be'imurim, where are we going to learn that from? So the reason why lan be'imurim is kasher, shahare lan kasher bebasar. Because the whole concept of leaving it overnight doesn't even apply to the meat, right? Meat that you can eat from the korban, shlamim. So shlamim, when are you allowed to eat it? You have 2 days and a night, which means if you leave it over to the next day, it's kasher la'achila. So therefore, what they're saying is the concept of lan has a heter element to it, because the meat can be left overnight once you've brought the sacrifice. So since the meat can be eaten the next day, also we're going to allow imurim, and then therefore also blood that was left overnight. Okay, because there's an element of kasher about it, okay, which is the meat itself. Yotze, so what about something that leaves the azara? Shayotze kasher bebama. Again, there's an element of yotze. Both these are very similar because they're taking somewhere where there's a halacha that there's something totally mutar, and they're learning out our case, which is asur. It's asur to take the meat out. But if there were bamot, it would be allowed. There's no yotze because bamot means you could do it anywhere. There's no concept of space, that this space is sanctified and that space isn't. So therefore, yotze must be not as chamor since there is a way to do it in bama, and therefore we're going to allow it. Tameh. Okay, tameh. So those two are a little unique because those two are learned out. We're learning here our disqualified case from a case that's totally kasher. And the Gemara is going to ask on that and say, how could you learn a psul from a kasher? Okay? But tameh, ho'il v'hutara lavodat tzibur. Right? Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Remember, if the majority of the kohanim or the majority of the people are tameim, you're allowed to bring the korbanot tzibur, even though, right, the meat, if they're all the meat, right, all the kohanim are tameim, right, that, we've learned that. So tameh, ho'il v'hutara lavodat tzibur, we're going to allow it, therefore, if once it went on the mizbeach. Chutz lizmano, ho'il u'miratzeh l'pigulo. If you remember, this is a strange concept that the meat only becomes pigul, that you're going to be chayav karet if you eat it, if you actually presented the blood of the korban after you had a pigul machshava. So what do you see? The sprinkling of the blood affects the pigul. The pigul takes effect only if you've actually sprinkled the blood. So what does that show? It proves that this has the status of a sacrifice, even once it's disqualified, because they even say it's only going to be pigul if you actually sprinkle the blood, and the sprinkling affects pigul from being called pigul, and therefore it has the status of an offering. Chutzlim kamo, ho'yov it kash l'chutzlis mano. Okay, once you have chutzlis mano, then chutzlim kamo is going to be the same as chutzlis mano. Shekiblu psulim v'zarku et amo. So now you asked Shari before, what psulim are we talking about? At this point, the Gemara is going to say, oh, we're only talking about bahanach psule dechazel avodat zibur. We're talking about kohanim who are tmeim, right, who in theory, right, could be ruin lavodat zibur. Like, let's say the kohen was tameh. And then if all the kohanim were tameh, then we would allow it, because tumah hutra b'tzibur. So since that's the case, so therefore we'll allow kohanim who took the blood, even if they were tameim. So now the Gemara asked what I said they were going to ask. V'chi danim davar shelo behechshero midavar shebehechshero, which were the first two cases. How can we learn lam bedam and lam b'imurim from the basar itself, which is allowed, it's kasher like that, and the psul of yotze from yotze babama when it's totally kasher, and which whereas the others were learned from a tuma like a hutra b'tzibur. That's not where it's totally mutar. It's just we allow it, we override it. Or pigul, we weren't learning from a hechsher situation. So how could we do that? So now they say, oh, well, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda didn't really learn it from here. Okay? Tana azot torata ola riba samichle. He really learned it from zot torata ola because there's these three words that exclude three cases. But then, when he came up with how am I going to... then he used these as guidelines to figure out which ones are in, which ones are out. When he had to come up with which of the three exceptions, this is what he came up with. Then it doesn't... If you're going to say he derived the halacha from here, we don't want to learn a psul from a hechsher. But if it's just he had to kind of figure out, and as he had the general exceptions already in his head from the Zot Torata Ola, from that Rasha, then this he kind of just, you know, came up with guidelines, and that then it's okay that we can learn it from a hechsher. That doesn't bother us. Okay, comes Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hashochet, he's going to talk about something else now. Hashochet behema balayla bifnim. If you shecht an animal at night, okay, remember, how did we get to this? Because Rabbi Yehuda was talking about something shechted at night. If you shecht it at night, you put it on the mizbech, it has to come off. Okay, even though psula b'kodesh, that was one of his exceptions. So now we're going to talk about how we view shechita at night. So if you shecht an animal at night, bifnim, you have the right location, but you have the wrong time. Ve'he'ela b'chutz, and then you took it, and you put it on a mizbeach outside the mikdash. Lo tehe p'chuta mishochei b'chutz u'ma'ale b'chutz. He says, it's not going to be any better than, or any worse than, in other words, we're going to say, it's going to be similar to a case of someone who shechted outside and sacrificed it outside. And a person like that, he's chayav on his shchita, he's chayav on his offering it up, and he gets karet for this. Okay? So if, when he's now going to make this comparison, he's going to say, if you're shochet b'chutz and male b'chutz, and you're chayav on that, then also, if you're shochet b'layla b'fnim, you're going to be chayav on the fact, you're going to be chayav... Right, according to this, he's going to say that your chayav karet. Thank you. I think this is karet. One second. Right, the question is, are you going to be chayav on? Right, when he was ma'ale b'chutz, in the second case we saw, he shechted it b'chutz and was ma'ale b'chutz. Here he shechted it b'fnim, but he shechted it b'fnim at the wrong time. So he had the right time but at the right place, but he had the wrong time. We're going to say that's equivalent to shechting outside. Okay? That's basically like shechita chutz, and then we're going to say that he's chayav on that, the same way he'd be chayav on the other. Okay? So now they're going to disagree with him. Matziv Rav Chiya Bar Avin, hashochet of bifnim umale b'chutz patur. If you shecht a bird inside, now remember, you're not allowed to shecht a bird inside, you have to do malika. And your ma'ale b'chutz, you're going to be patur. Okay? You're not chayav for doing this because you actually did the shchita bifnim. Okay? It's not a case of shchutei chutz. Even though it was malika and it wasn't shchita. You follow the similarity here? The similarity here is that you did it wrong, but you did it in the right place. Right? There you did it wrong and you did it in the right place. There you did it wrong because you did it at the wrong time. Here you did it wrong because you did shchita instead of malika. So in both cases, you have the right location, but something else is wrong. And here, you see, you're patur if you do this in your ma'ale b'chutz. But shachat b'chutz u'ma'ale b'chutz chayav. Only if you did the shchita outside and ma'ale b'chutz chayav. So why don't you say the same thing that Rabbi Yochanan said, and it's a question of Rabbi Yochanan, why don't you say ne'ema lo te p'chuta mishochet u'ma'ale b'chutz? So Gemara says to you, Uftah, you're right. It's a good question. Okay? However, the Gemara offers an answer. Ibait Ema, you could say, Shchitata of bifnim miktal katle. When you shecht a bird inside and you don't do malika, that's not like you're disqualifying it. That's like you murdered it. In other words, it's not even a shchita. It's not. What is shchita? In order to be chayiv, you have to have shchutei chutz and then your ma'ale b'chutz. But this isn't called shchita. Because shchita in the mikdash is not actually... Right? It's not what you're supposed to have done. You're supposed to have done malika, so it's not even anything. So maybe you could look at it that way and therefore say they're not comparable. Okay. Amar Ula. Imurei kodshim kalim she'elan lifnei zrikat aman. Okay, what if you take imurim of kodshim kalim and you put them... Now, what's the difference between kodshim kalim and kodshe kodshim? That's very important to understand. Kodshe kodshim, you have a din of me'ila right away, as soon as you designate them, because they're all offered to God, right? Or they go to the Kohanim. But kodshim kalim, there's no din of me'ila until after you do the zrikatam, because until that point, right, there's no me'ila because you're allowed to eat the meat. Once you do the sprinkling of the blood,
what's
then
an
what?
Example? Can you give examples?
Yes, yeah, shlamim. You have a korban shlamim. What do you do with it? You bring it to the mikdash. You shecht it. You take the blood. You sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood, what happens? The meat becomes mutar to you. The imurim have to be burned on the mizbech. So the imurim now have a din of me'ila. But the din of me'ila only kicks in after zrikat dam. So now he wants to know like this. Since that's the case, so imurei kodshe kodshim she'elan lifnei zrikat amam, if they're not really sanctified, it's kind of like what? It's like the kmitza. Remember we saw before a mincha that you hadn't yet put the kmitza into a kli sharet and you put it on the mizbeach and you take it off. It's not sanctified at all. This is very similar to that, is what Ula is saying. Ula is saying, imurei kodshe kodshim she'elan lifnei zrikat amim. Ah, so he says, sorry, he says it's, he actually, right, this opinion thinks the kodshim kalim lifnei zrikat amam are the same as all other sacrifices. He doesn't distinguish, but soon we're going to see that other people want to distinguish. Lo yerdu, okay, he says if you put them on before zrikat am, even though there's no din of me'ila before then, and it's, you know, right, he doesn't care, once you put them on, lo yerdu, nasu lachmosh ha-mizbech, okay, they become like the bread of the mizbech. Amar Rabbi Zera. Av ana nami tanina. So Rabbi Zera says we can learn the same halacha from our Mishnah. Shenishpach tama v'shiyatzad amachutz leklayim. That it gave these cases of blood was spilled or damagos chutz leklayim. Uma hatam diim ba lizrok ein lo lizrok. Right. In these cases, what happens if you go to sprinkle the blood? So the blood was already spilled. You won't be able to. Right. And what did we say? Amart imalu lo yerdu. So what do you see here? If the blood was spilled, obviously the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, and obviously the blood will never be sprinkled, and yet, right, what does it say? Imalu lo yerdu. So that sounds to prove, Ula, that even kodshe kodshim lifnei zrikat dam, imalu lo yerdu. So they say, no, hacha de'im baliz rok zorek, oh no, sorry, so here he explains, hacha de'im baliz rok zorek lo kolshaken. So in our case, where you take this kodshe kodshim before the blood was sprinkled, you have this stuff on the mizbeach, what are you going to say? Well, just go sprinkle the blood. And then, since you can sprinkle the blood, of course, we're not going to have to take this off the mizbeach. And this is a lo kol shaken case. So therefore, he says, you can prove him from the Mishnah. So then they say, no, because tirgama kodshe kodshim. How do you know that the Mishnah was talking about kodshim kalim also? Maybe it was only talking about kodshe kodshim. And kodshim kalim shenishpach taman, since there was no, right, it wasn't sanctified yet, until the zrikat dam, it's not, doesn't become, doesn't have a din of me'ila. Therefore, maybe you would say, only kodshe kodshim. So now they say, but wait, our Mishnah mentioned some kodshim kalim. Hare Pesach, the kodshim kalim who? At the end of our Mishnah, remember, it gave the case of Pesach. You could say, ah, tirgama b'shalo lishman. That, when they talked about Pesach, it was only talking about shalo lishma. It wasn't talking about other aspects of the dam being spilled or something like that. So that doesn't prove anything. Okay, so now they say tznan. So what about in our Mishnah? It says v'kulan shalu chayin legabe mizbeach yerdu, hashchutin lo yerdu. So the Mishnah says only if they go alive, right? Anything that goes alive will definitely come off. What does that seem to imply? If it went up once it was shechted, even before zrikat dam, it sounds like, right? You can infer from the Mishnah, even before zrikat dam, lo yerdu. So here would also prove Ula. So they say, my love, lo shna kodshe kodshim, lo shna kodshim kalim. In other words, this is proving it. Aren't you assuming when it says v'kulan shalu chayim legabe mizbeach yerdu, which would then imply all shchutim lo yerdu, wouldn't you be saying it applies both to kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim, in which case that would prove Ula? And they say, lo, ha shchutin mehem yerdu, mehem lo yerdu. In other words, if you want to make a derivation, you could say like this. Kulan shalu chayim legabei mizbeach yerdu. That's what the Mishnah says. Hashchutim, but if it was shechted, sometimes it would go off and sometimes it wouldn't, depending on whether it was kochi kalim or kochi kochim. You follow? In other words, you don't necessarily have to derive that this is going to teach you the kochim kalim that were shchutim stay on the mizbeach even before zrikatam. So you could say it that way. So then they say vaha kulan katane, but it says all of them, right? Kulan chayim, which seems to imply kulan chayim versus kulam shchutim. And don't start making distinctions. So they say no, kulin achayim. Okay, the kulin word refers specifically to the chayim. Okay, to the alive ones, but the ones that are shechted, you could start distinguishing. So then they say pshita, but that would be totally obvious that chayim, right? That once they are go on the mizbeach of. Right, why would this pshita? Right, in other words, if you have an animal, pshita, you're going to take it off because, as we said before, what? You're going to shech them on top of the mizbeach? Of course, if it's alive, you're going to take it down and then bring it back on the mizbeach. So then they say, no, it's trying to tell you, la'olam achayim ubedugin sheba'ayin, va'alibad Rabbi Akiva da'amar imalu lo yerdu. Okay, so now we're going to say that it must be talking about those that were alive. And what it's trying to specifically talk about is even dukin sheba'ayin, even if it has this light mum, and then in which case you're not going to shecht it after, but we're still going to say, right, even if it went alive on the mizbech and it was a bal mum, and it had this mild mum to it, and according to Rabbi Kiva, who says, imalu lo yerdu, even according to him, you're going to take this animal down off the mizbech. Okay, we'll stop here. It continues on a little more. They're going to try to say, is it talking about psulim? Is it not? Okay, fine. We'll pick up at the bottom, Mishnah on Pehe Amubet on Sunday.